Now Jeff Blair can tell you bedtime stories. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher and listen anytime you want. Sweet dreams. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. And now, your Leaf Stanley Cup Parade Marshal, Jeff Blair. This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
What you really like, baby, I can take my time. We don't ever have to fight.
Show I've looked forward to doing for a long, long time. You know, for the first time, I can actually say to someone to plan the parade and not feel as if I'm, you know, poking fun at some poor Toronto sports fan, poking fun at the naivety and the wishfulness that comes from, well, how can I put this politely? It comes from not ever seeing your team win anything. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions this morning, and you know what? There's nothing anybody can do about it. Not LeBron, not the U.S. media, not even the NBA refs. I mean, nobody. A team without a lottery pick, whose best player was, what, 15th pick in the draft from a smaller college. You know, a team composed of a little bit of this and a little bit of that and a whole lot of moxie, coached by a guy who, I don't know, was the second or maybe even third choice for the job. Knocking off a team that has not only won titles, but has basically transformed the way the game is played. You know what? It's going to take time to figure out what it all means on the grander scale, right? You know, TV ratings were spectacular for this series, crushing other televised sports, hell, crushing primetime staples. The six has multiple meanings now, as in 6 million people who sat down and watched game five of this series across the country, and who knows how many will have watched last night's game. And of course, we've seen all the anecdotal evidence. Right, all the pictures of those viewing parties throughout the country, and you know, MTS Center in Winnipeg, and Mosaic Field in Regina. I mean, everywhere Canadians got together in groups and watched the Toronto Raptors. And I'm never going to get tired of saying this: watch the Toronto Raptors become NBA champions. Look, I'm not a big fan, as you know, of the, you know, the please love my sport folks, or the my sport is better than yours folks. So let's not try to convince each other that we're no longer a hockey country, right? I mean, let's be honest. The Raptors and Blue Jays are the only Canadian-based professional teams in their respective sports. So yes, of course the country is going to get behind them. There's no one NHL team that could unite us because there are too many of them. And too many rivalries. But, you know, that's fine. That's fine. That's part of the sports landscape in our country. And know this, basketball is in the ascendancy in this country for a variety of reasons. Favorable demographics and relative cheapness of equipment accessibility to begin with. The key to the long-term health of this sport at the grassroots level is to not price out families the way hockey's in the process of doing. But beyond that, you know, putting a long-lasting sort of mark on the land. I mean, I think our Sherman Hamilton had it right in primetime sports a couple of weeks ago when he said the next step forward for basketball is to see the national team win something significant, because we all know there is something about the red maple leaf, right, that will make us stop and watch. But, yeah, my goodness, I don't want to lose sight of what we have in front of us. This morning, we will turn things over to you as we have throughout the NBA playoffs, and we're going to start the debate. Start a debate, if you will. Where does this moment rank for you as a sports fan? And where do you think it will rank in the city sports history? And as we do that, let's keep this in mind. We deserve this. All of us. You know, the day oneers the guys who kept the game alive and the courts before the Raptors were here, yep, the newbies. Some have been here longer and lived and died with the Raptors more than others. But honest to God, this morning, it doesn't matter. The Raptors are NBA champions, and we're all going to have to love it and deal with it.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
The game and to win the championship. Free throw is up and in. The Raptors by four. Cousins inbounds the ball. Curry heaves it at the buzzer. It's no good. Franchise history. League history. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. A city, a province, a country celebrates. The NBA championship is due north.
That was our very own Eric Smith with the call last night. Good morning, Toronto. Some of you out there, please go home. Your families are waiting. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. A 114-110 Game 6 win over the Golden State Warriors. And you finally have... You finally have another title in this city. And the first major North American title since back-to-back World Series by the Blue Jays, with apologies to Toronto FC. But the first title in the four major North American sports. It's been a long, long time. Not just for Raptors fans, but for Toronto sports fans. And there were times where it seemed as if we were never going to get there. There were times when it seemed as if there was no way the Raptors would be able to keep players happy long enough to put together a team, to put together a championship team. I mean, you go through all the names and all those broken dreams, doesn't matter anymore. The Toronto Raptors are NBA champions. The city finally has a title to celebrate, and it's been won by a team that has not only captured the heart of the city, but has captured the heart of the country. We will go to the phone lines all morning long. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. You can reach us on the text line, 590-590. We'll keep it going all morning. And we'll get to as many of your calls as we can. Tim Legler is ESPN's NBA analyst, and we're very pleased to be joined by Tim Legler on the Jeff Blair Show. Tim, thanks so much for joining us this morning. How do you think, and I understand, you know, we won't know this until we see what the Raptors look like next year. But Tim, how do you think history will treat this Raptors team?
Well, I think if I'm interpreting your question right, are you implying that somehow it'll be tainted or diminished because of what Golden State went through physically?
It won't for me, but I think there are some people who would say that.
I don't think historically those things hold up. Like in the moment, you're going to have some people say that. You're certainly going to have a lot of people in the Bay Area that are going to say that and feel that way. But you could go back and over the last 30 years, and there's a lot more teams that were depleted because of injuries that didn't win championships that are never talked about. And I think that'll be the case here. I just think what you're going to remember most about this run was the you know, how incredible Kawhi Leonard was for 2 months. I think that's where that trumps anything that happened to the Golden State Warriors, because for me, it goes on a very short list of the best 2 month runs we've had in playoff history. And in my time in 10 years as a player, basically the entire decade of the 90s, and Michael Jordan won 6 titles when I was in the league, to the 18 years I've covered it for ESPN. You know, this goes on a really short list of the best, because, you know, to have a guy at the top of the food chain drive the offense every single night with this level of consistency, I think you've got to go to places like, you know, Dwayne Wade in 2006, and what he did with that in that first title. And if you go back and just, you know, look at his box scores and stat lines from that team, not doing it with a Hall of Famer that was in his prime. You know, he had some names on that team. None of those guys were in their prime. It was his show every night. Dirk Nowitzki, the title he won in Dallas, you know, just look at what he was doing every night offensively, where you're not going to survive it if he's not playing that way. And the same can be said of Kawhi Leonard. The precision he played with, the strength, the consistency, and how great he was in the clutch, that's what's going to be remembered about this team 20 years from now. You're going to be remembering visually Kawhi Leonard and how he played in the last 2 months.
I love your choice of words to describe Kawhi Leonard. You talked about the precision of his game, and that when, you know, I think the thing that has surprised me the most, or that surprised me the most about Kawhi Leonard during this postseason run is, you know, I looked at Kawhi Leonard as being a really good defensive player. He's a good two-way player, but I still thought of Kawhi Leonard mainly as a defensive guy. But Tim, and Steph Curry mentioned this, I think he mentioned it during the media availability day before game 6, about how Kawhi has kind of widened his offensive game too. And you know, and it was already good, but he's kind of widened it a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. And you know, honestly, you saw that progression started to take place in San Antonio before he got injured. He had elevated his game to a place where, you know, you knew what kind of work this guy must be putting in, because when he first came into the league, he was a decent mid-range jump shooter. He wasn't a 20-point shooter at all. He was a slasher. He played along the baseline. He was a great weak side cutter. He was good in transition. He could make a jump shot in the middle area of the floor, but not like this. As he progressed as a player in San Antonio, he started to add a handle, where they were now initiating ball screen offense with him, which that wasn't the case early in his career. As they started to transition out of the Tony Parker-led offense and the Tim Duncan-led offense, you started to see Kawhi Leonard initiate the offense more as his career expanded in San Antonio. But still, nothing like this. Nothing like controlling entire games, controlling entire series with a guy with a live handle that was just physically never able to rush. You can't speed him up. And for me, his greatest attribute as a player is his strength, because he plays at the pace and speed he wants, because you're never going to be able to knock him off balance. And it's just such an incredible quality. It's core strength, the upper body strength, the base, all of those things. And so, you know, he always is so under control, because he knows where he wants to go, and you can't really, you know, sway him from those spots because he's just too physically overwhelming. He got to the point this postseason where every single time the ball came off his fingertips, I expected it to go in. It was just these lasers he's shooting. There's no arc. It's so flat, but it's got zero margin for error when you shoot a shot with the low trajectory, and yet every one of those things was going straight through. You're hitting the back of the rim and then just going straight down after he made it. It was just so exacting. You know, that's what blew me away. And precision, I think, is the best word. It was as close to a machine-like performance over the past 2 months as anything I've ever seen.
Kyle Lowry is a guy in this city. I don't know if I'd say the city is a love-hate relationship with him. I think that's probably a little too strong. But, I mean, there are fans, good Raptors fans who've been there for years, and I know them, who, you know, they lose faith in Kyle very quickly. And I thought it was so key last night, and the way he came out early, but also at the end of the game, Tim, watching the reactions of his teammates. You know, Fred Van Vliet talking about how Kyle, I think he used the word, Kyle's the most slandered player in the NBA. That was a really good moment for Kyle Lowry, wasn't it? And that was exactly the start they needed. Game six, you lost a shot at home. You were the guy with the last, you had the last shot, didn't make it. You come out in the first quarter, you hit 11, and, you know, it's away we go.
Yeah, I've always considered Kyle Lowry a barometer for the Toronto Raptors at the start of a game, and I was asked this exact question, actually, some of the pregame stuff I did last night. You know, I think the exact question was, how will you know early on if the Toronto Raptors are, like, you know, in a good place and be able to close this thing out? And I said, for me, it's Kyle Lowry making jumps out there, because I, from what I've observed, and I'm not seeing them every night the way you might, because I'm covering the whole league, but when I watch the Raptors over the recent memory when they've been a really good team and they're in the playoffs every year and making runs, I always feel there's a sense of heightened anxiety as the night goes on if Kyle Lowry's not making jumps off. Mm-hmm. It's a pressure release for that team because, you know, to be fair, that's the way the league looks now. Like, that position, that spot, those are high-powered players that play that spot in the NBA. Those are guys that are capable of giving you 25- and 30-point games, that are lethal three-point shooters, that have nasty handles. It's the most lethal position in the league. And Kyle Lowry doesn't really fit that mold. So on the nights he's shooting it well, you know, everybody's like, okay, you know, we got one of those too. But there are nights when he's not, and then that, I think, he comes under more scrutiny because then you start comparing him to other guys that play that position on some of these teams that are winning, trying to win championships. So completely agree with you. I think everyone takes a deep breath, and they're a little bit relieved when Kyle Lowry's playing well early, and playing well doesn't even do justice what he did last night, the way he came out that aggressively, hunting shots, looking for shots, knocking everything down and getting them off to a great start. I agree. I feel great for him. He's a tough guy. He's got a lot of respect for me. You know, fellow Big Fiver. He played at Villanova. So I respect and appreciate the toughness of a Philly kid. And, you know, the grit's always there, taking charges on the floor, loose balls, leadership, all those things. But that shot-making is something that's streaky with him. And fortunately for the Raptors, it was on last night, and he got them off to a great start, and they were able to close the deal.
Before he lets you run, do want to ask you about the Warriors. Boy, you know, they've been, you could tell by the post-game comments from Kawhi and from Kyle, they're a championship team that a lot of people enjoyed having Golden State as a champion. Let's just put it that way. I think they represented the game well. They represented themselves. They were a fun champion. I never got the impression they wore out their welcome. But the fact is, they lost. What happens to that dynasty now, Tim? Is it? I mean, I guess a lot will depend, obviously, on where things go with Durant. But in the immediate future, what happens to that Golden State team?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, Kevin Durant, that's obviously, you know, you can't overstate how big that is, obviously. I mean, he might miss all next season, but if he stays there long term, he's going to have, you know, plenty more high quality, elite level basketball to play. Klay Thompson, the same thing. He might miss all of next season, or certainly the vast majority of it. He's going to be fine. You know, it's an ACL reconstruction. Guys come back from that differently now, and he's not an explosive player. He's a jump shooter. So he's going to come back and, I think, be 100% after next season. So, you know, if Durant stays, you know, and that's a big if, but if he stays, this isn't the last you're going to hear of the Golden State Warriors, because they still have that number 30 as well, who has shown you at moments in this postseason he can still be an MVP caliber talent. So I don't think it's necessarily going anywhere. And I want to echo what you said initially, and I've told this to people a lot, which is, I understand it's human nature in society and sports. You start hating winning too much, right? So they go from this beloved team in the first year of this five-year run, when the babyface staff is out there doing his thing, everybody fall in love with the Golden State Warriors too. Now, you know, if Durant goes there, now it changes, right? Now they become the villains. Now they become the team everybody wants to lose. And I just kept telling people, careful what you wish for, just from this standpoint. That's the way the game is meant to be played.
Yep.
The way that those guys move it, shoot it, run without it, cut without it. It's a fun style. It's one of the most memorable runs in NBA history, and it's one of the most electrifying must-see teams in any sport you're ever going to see. Golden State at their best. So the league and basketball in general won't be as good when this is all over with. And I don't think it necessarily is. We got to wait and see what happens with Durant. We got to, you know, but I think going into this new building, and I think, you know, people think that's at the end of an era. I don't think so, man. They still got number 30, and they got Klay Thompson, who I don't think will ever leave Steph Curry's side. That team has got more in them in a wildly changing NBA landscape from year to year. If they keep that constant, that backcourt, the Golden State Warriors are still going to be heard from.
Hey, Tim, great of you to join us this morning, man. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The city enjoys it. Yeah.
It will. Take care. Tim Legler, NBA analyst on ESPN. And big fan. We're all a big fan of his work here on this show. And, look, this is about the Raptors. The numbers are 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 is a text line. But I did think it was important to at least acknowledge the Golden State Warriors, because I'm dead serious about this. Yeah, you know, obviously we got our fill of Draymond Green in this series, but I'll tell you, they've been pretty damn good champions. They've kept their noses clean for the most part. They've represented their city, themselves, their organization well, and they're fun to watch. They're fun to watch. I mean, they have transformed the way the game is played, not just in the NBA, but at every level. And they are to be celebrated. Not as much this morning, though, as our Toronto Raptors, of course, who are NBA champions. Of course, you know by now the parade will be... Doesn't that sound great? The parade will be Monday. I know we've got some special plans here for coverage. It's going to be a day to never forget if you're a Toronto sports fan. And you know, I was thinking about, and I was driving in this morning, driving up to the station, and there were a bunch of people still out in the street, still wearing Raptors gear, coming back, coming up Jarvis, and I don't know that they're I guess. I want to say they were teenagers, and I'm thinking, you know, these people, they're probably not even 16 yet, maybe 16, 17. They've seen their team win a championship. Go ask your father how that feels. I mean, there are people in this city who've waited 40, 50 years, 40 years for a title. And there are a lot of people out there going, I don't know what the big deal is. You know, I'm 15 years old. My basketball team won a title. All I can say is enjoy it. Because as the great philosopher Kawhi Leonard said the other day, it doesn't always come around again. Let us go to the phone lines. Chad in Kitchener, what is up?
What is up, fellas? Wow, NBA championships. I can't even believe it. I'm still pinching myself, to be honest with you. Honestly, I'm ecstatic. Kyle Lowry, I couldn't be as proud as I am for that guy. You know, a longest serving Raptor, how he controlled the pace all playoff series.
What?
Every series that he played in, mm-hmm. Whether he was scoring or not, the pace that he did, the way he pushed the ball against Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, honestly, I don't think he's talked about enough. You know, just that pace, you know, it affects them on the offensive end. It gets their leg. They have to be ready. You got to run back on defense every single possession. I watched the Warriors play this postseason, and all the teams they played didn't do that. And I give Kyle Lowry credit, because every time he got the ball, he was ready to go. He was ready to push the tempo up the floor. He allowed, the game to be played at Raptors' pace. And I think that's why we were in games, and we didn't get blown out. Because anytime they had that 11-point lead or 7-point lead, 8-point lead, Kyle Lowry did a great job of just controlling the pace, bringing the pace back to how the Raptors wanted to play. So, you know, kudos to Kyle. My goodness, we're NBA championships. I can't believe it. I'm on cloud nine, man. How do you guys feel about that? I don't know.
Thanks, Chad. Appreciate the call. I mean, it's great, you know, I'm really happy for Kyle Lowry, because I think I'm like a lot of people in this city. There were times where I look at Kyle Lowry and go, man, they can't win with this guy at point guard. They just can't. There's the emotional maturity isn't there. You know, all the stuff we always said about Kyle Lowry. But I don't know, something kind of happened. And at some point I went from thinking that to being stubbornly pro Kyle. You know, I'd get my back up when people would slag Kyle Lowry. And I have no idea when that happened. I just started thinking, man, people are really dumping this guy quickly. And so I just decided, you know, I'm not going to be one of those people you're going to dump on. There are flaws to his game, but very seldom did I watch Kyle Lowry play and come away thinking that the dude had mailed it in or that he didn't give me everything he had that night. And there were nights where he wasn't going to score. There were nights where his shot wasn't very good. But I would watch him, and I'd say at the end of the night, okay, you gave me an honest effort. Wasn't there for you tonight, but you gave me an honest effort. So I went from not having any faith in Kyle Lowry, not caring if he stayed here or not, to being so stubbornly pro-Kyle that I get my back up whenever people dumped on him. And I have no idea why that is. I have no idea. But, I mean, that sometimes happens in sports, right? This is a great text, Dave in Collingwood. And we want to talk about where this moment ranks for you as a Toronto sports fan. And I think we need to wait a bit, as I said in my little preamble. We need this to wait a little bit to see where it ranks nationally. I've got some thoughts on that. Probably going to surprise you, and I'll give it to you after the break. But I want to read this text. Hey, Jeff, I know it's early to try and rank this. And maybe there's some bias involved, recency bias. But I think this is a top three championship for Canada. And as we go along, this could be the most important ever. Now, hear Dave out. I say that because of the potential it has to change the landscape of sports in this country. When Sid scored the golden goal, the country's youth didn't run out and pick up a hockey stick because most of them already had one. The same can't be said about basketball. We are now talking about the Carter effect 10 years after Vince. I think in another 10 years, we will be talking about the Raptors effect. Thanks, Dave in Collingwood. Dave's hitting something here. This is not to take anything away from Vince Carter. But Vince Carter's imprint on basketball in Toronto. Now, you have this argument with Sixero all the time. I think he had a bigger impact on basketball in this city than Steve Nash has had. But Vince's star shone brightest here. In this city. I'm not entirely certain across the country a lot of people glommed on to Vince. I mean, the slam dunk competition, that was great when he won it. You know, hey, the Toronto Raptors, dude from the Raptors won the slam dunk contest. But there was never what this did, what this postseason did, what this finals run in particular did, is it captured the country's attention, not for one day, not for 2 days. For 3 days, it captured a country's attention for a couple of weeks. People talked about it across the country day after day after day after day. And it helped that there was no Canadian team in the Stanley Cup final. But this was so in your face if you are a Toronto sports fan, right? Or I'm sorry, if you are a Canadian sports fan. This was the story that was in your face for the past 2 weeks. And again, I know this anecdotally. A lot of people who didn't watch basketball, it's not because they didn't like basketball. It's just basketball wasn't part of their sports meal, right? They started watching this because it's something different. They started watching this. They saw this team. They fell in love with this team. And, you know, this is a type of team. This is the type of team Don Cherry should be celebrating, right? None of these guys were tabbed as future stars. Kawhi Leonard was 15th pick overall out of San Diego. You know, not a major basketball school. You know, Kyle Lowry, when he came here, Kyle Lowry's reputation was as a coach killer when he came here. All these other guys, Pascal Siakam, Fred VanVleet, undrafted, right? This is a team. We like to think, if we designed the perfect Canadian NHL team, we like to think about all the, we like to have blue collar guys, and we even like our superstars to be blue collar, right? Like Sidney Crosby, still kind of a blue collar guy. Sid does the dirty work in the corner. Sid isn't afraid to, you know, take a swing at somebody. He's not going to fight anybody, but I mean, Sid'll stand up for himself. Sid's kind of a blue collar guy. We like those guys. Yeah, we don't like the floaters. We don't like the stars. We like our stars to have a little bit of that blue collar edge for them. That's what this team is. This team is very much for a basketball team what you would love to put together as a hockey team. And that's where I think Dave is right here, in that this was something we were talking about across the country every day for 2 weeks. This wasn't a one-off. And I think that we will look back. Again, I'm not getting into the whole hockey versus basketball debate, but I really, things have been changing in this country for a while. And we've talked about this with Brunt, right? You know, the number of kids playing soccer, the number of kids playing basketball. Things have been changing for a while in this country. What happens is when something like this happens, you start to take notice, because this grabs your attention. Then you look around and go, damn, there are a lot of kids playing basketball. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Lots ahead. Faisal Khamisa will join me in studio. Sid Sixero. This is a guy, and I'm going to credit my producer, Travis McKenzie, for finding this story in The Ringer. Brandon Hurley is a sports editor at the Jefferson Herald, the Carroll Daily Times Herald, the Guthrie County Times Vedette. He is the sports editor, the sports writer. He probably puts the paper out himself, of Nick Nurse's hometown paper. This is the assignment of a lifetime for this dude. And there's a saying that all news is local, right? Well, in this case, for Brandon Hurley, it really is. He is going to join us in studio. We're going to talk about Nick Nurse and just talk about Brandon's experience this week. He didn't go. You know, paper couldn't afford to send him out to the West Coast, so he stayed in Toronto. And I presume he's going to stay around for the parade. So that'll be a lot of fun. Brandon Hurley will join us. And as I said, we'll go back to the phone lines, back to your texts. The Raptors are NBA champions. And this is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
You've been through this roller coaster of a couple years, and now you're sitting with the finals trophy, the MVP trophy next to you again. And I'm curious how these couple years have changed you as a man and changed the way you look at faith and kind of your priorities in life.
Well, just a year last year, a lot of people were doubting me. Thought I was either faking an injury or didn't want to play for a team. And that was disappointing to me that was out in the media, because I love the game of basketball. Like I always say, if we're not playing this game, if we're hurt, I mean, you're down. So me just going through that, and, you know, I just knew that I have to make myself happy and no one else. And I have to trust myself. And doesn't matter what anybody has to say about me. I know who I am as a person. I know how I feel. And always just trust yourself. And that was my goal and my focus. And, that's one of the things that, you know, I take on the floor. I don't care about what media has to say about me, or if they want me to score whatever, 30 points, because I did the game before. I'm going to come out and play the right way. I'm not trying to make headlines. And, you know, that's just things that, you know, I pretty much learned just throughout this journey of being in the NBA. So, I mean, that's how I just keep growing up as a man. And that's why I say I just think about my past life and try to learn from situations and be wise and learn from others.
Yeah, that is Kawhi Leonard. Certainly rising to the occasion, not only on the court but in the interview room as well. And you know, again, the old saying, was it still waters run deep, silent waters run deep, whatever. Yeah, I think Kawhi Leonard's a perfect example of that. 416-870-0590, star 590. 590-590 is the text line, 1-888-666-0590. This is an interesting text from Corbin in Milton. And I think he's probably hit the nail on the head when we talked about what I was trying to say about Vince and Kawhi Leonard. Corbin from Milton says, Jeff, Vince put Toronto on the map. Leonard put Canada on the map. I think he's talking about the basketball map. And that is... what? 11 words. Just so perfectly put together. Vince put Toronto on the map. Leonard put Canada on the map. Tony and Maple, what's up, Tony?
Hey, Jeff, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Good, and yourself?
I'm okay now. I'm on my going to be in my second cup soon. So
I thought maybe you'd be on your fourth or fifth, maybe staying up late and watch that game.
No, I actually ended up staying at a hotel downtown, so I was fine. But
there you go.
Yeah, it was good, right. And it sounds like, and you know, there's one unfortunate incident. But it sounds like, by and large, and I was down near Young and Dundas, it sounds like, by and large, you know, I mean, you're going to get the odd case of jackassery every now and then.
Right.
But it sounds like, by and large, things went pretty well. You know, hearing stories about, I was talking to one of the cameramen from BT, from Breakfast Television, this morning. He came in to do a hit with me, and he was the guy who was out in Young and Dundas filming. And he said there was a funny scene where a bunch of people got on top of a bus. And he said there were like four or five police officers who walked over and said, can you please come down from the top of the bus, in that tone? And they all did. Right. The police officers were like reaching up and, you know, pulling,
helping,
you know, guys, helping them down. So, yeah, no, it was, listen, it sounds like it was a great night again. You know, we do know that there was one incident where, you know, hoping that the victim is fine, but yeah, it was, you know, he didn't tear the city apart, which was great.
Right, exactly. No looting or any of that kind of garbage.
No, it was pretty good.
That's good. So, Jeff, what I wanted to say is, firstly and foremost, congratulations to the Toronto Raptors, the players, the organization, management, job well done.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to mention is, obviously, we have Kawhi Leonard as the star of the Raptors, and I think he played the most pivotal role that maybe even people forget. Not so much just his play, because that's evident, but maybe the, let's call it mentoring, if you can, or setting the kind of the emotional lift for this team that they lacked prior, where, you know, if they got behind, they didn't have a leader to cross that river with. And I guess Kawhi maybe gave them that calming effect that, hey, guys, we can do this kind of scenario. So I think maybe we need to recognize that part of his game as well that's maybe not so evident.
No, you know, that's a great point. And when you think about it, and thanks for the call, Tony. When you think about it, the lack of drama surrounding the Raptors this year. Coach of the year gets fired. Popular player gets traded. Kawhi Leonard comes in. Didn't play last year. Issues with the San Antonio Spurs. He's just here for a year. Rookie head coach. The drama happened at the start of the season. But by and large, during the season... Well, I'll tell you what. During the season, there was more drama with the Maple Leafs and their contractual situation than the Raptors. That is a credit to mostly to Kawhi Leonard, who you know, and again, we don't know what these guys are like behind closed doors, but publicly, I have never seen a more consistent personality in sports. I just haven't. He could be maddeningly, you know, he could drive you mad. He was so consistent. I haven't seen anybody like that. Not to the degree of Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard just had a way of sucking the drama out of a situation, which made it a lot easier for this team to do what it needed to do. And you're absolutely right, Tony. He set the standard. He set the emotional standard for this team, and everybody else followed. And I'll tell you what. I don't know what Kawhi Leonard's going to do. I tend to think that he may take a short-term contract and stay here. But I know this. 2 or 3 years down the road, we're going to look at Pascal Siakam and we're going to say, you know what the best thing to ever happen to Pascal Siakam was? It was playing with Kawhi Leonard. Because I think more than any other player in that team, Kawhi Leonard is going to rub off on Pascal Siakam. And I'm willing to bet that's one of the things Masai Ujiri thought about when he brought Kawhi in. We'll be joined by Faisal Khamisa in a few minutes in studio. We'll continue to take your calls. Faisal will be here, 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. I want to shift the focus when Faisal gets here. I want to talk about where this ranks in Toronto sports moments. You know, it's the first major North American title since the back-to-back World Series wins by the Blue Jays. For me, you know, I'm a baseball guy, but for me, where we are as a society now, where we are as a country, where we are demographically, man, I'll tell you, I think this is a bigger championship. Basketball is more of an international game, and it is a growing game. And I would certainly never diminish the value of a World Series win, but this is something else. And you've beaten the team that has redefined the way the game is played. In beating Golden State, regardless of who's hurt, it doesn't matter. The Golden State Warriors redefined the way the game is played. For me, this is the most significant title in this city. I mean, 92, the 92 World Series, you know, 93 was touch 'em all, Joe, it was dramatic and everything. The 92 World Series was when the Blue Jays really kind of put their imprint on Major League Baseball. And I've always thought that the 92 World Series kind of gets short shrift because of the drama in 93. But I mean, in my own personal ranking, I'd probably have the 92 World Series and this tied. 93 would be behind it. And, you know, in terms of Canadian sports history, I mean, look, I'll go to my grave thinking that Donovan Bailey's race remains for me the greatest single Canadian sports moment. People say Sidney Crosby's golden goal. You're playing at home. You should win. You were expected to win. The Russians weren't very good. The Americans always choked in those events. It was great because of the stage, but I don't know how significant it was. This is significant. This is something happening. We'll talk to Faisal Khamisa about that. Hey, let's go to Joey Vendetta. How are you doing, my friend? Thanks for your patience.
My man, you know what? The sun is shining a little brighter. People are walking with a pep in their step. And
oh, I don't know. I saw four people
today.
I saw four people this morning. There was no pep in their step, believe me. There were not. Actually, there weren't many steps, truth be known. There was one gentleman. Kudos to the guy that was holding up the big guy. I mean, he'll know. There was a guy who was very large, and his buddy had him, and God love him. But anyhow, go ahead.
I was going to. Okay, so there's a bit of a pep in their crawl.
That's more like it. Yeah.
So to your point, Jeff, I think you make a great point in terms of where this championship sits in the pantheon of Canadian championships. And I will say, I think you have to think about it as the greatest achievement in the history of championships in this country from the standpoint of, again, to your point, this is a global game. This is resonating in China. This is resonating in Europe. This was resonating in South America and South Africa. Like, this is resonating globally. And I think, you know, Tim Leiwicki, I bring up Tim because he deserves a ton of credit, because I'll never forget him saying to me, basketball is going to be bigger than hockey in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And the reason he said it was exactly what you said in terms of the global landscape and how winning an NBA championship puts you on that global map. And the reason that Masai Ujiri came to Toronto, one of the reasons, a main reason, was that Tim gave him a staff for his basketball, you know, Without Borders, the Giants of Africa thing. So we can't diminish the importance of this on a global scale.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And, you know, and again, we're comparing different eras, 92, 93 to now. But, yeah, this resonates. People watch basketball People watch basketball religiously around the world, and I'm with you. There are a lot of people who I'm not going to say they didn't know where Toronto was, because that's not true at all. Basketball fans would clearly know where it is, but there are a lot of people that I think are more aware of what Canada is about. You know, if they watch the games and. You know, kudos to the folks at ESPN. I mean, one of the things they did well is they glommed on, or they figured out really early what was going on with Jurassic Parks across the country. And, you know, they were feeding those to the American audience. So the American audience saw pictures of people in Regina at the football stadium watching the game. And that's great.
Well, one other thing I want to add is, you talk about Kawhi and the lack of drama, and you've never seen an athlete more consistent in his behavior and his just letting his talking happen on the court as opposed to off it, where in the NBA specifically, everything's about branding and managing your brand. I would ask you this. Do you think he picked that up from being in the Spurs system before things went awry, and specifically looking at a guy like Tim Duncan, who looked at a guy like David Robinson?
I think that had an awful lot to do with it. And I also think, you know, despite the fact that the relationship didn't end all that well, I don't think. I also think having a head coach like Greg Popovich, who is not uncomfortable with people being themselves, right? Like, you can be the quiet. If you're a guy who's a professional athlete who's quiet and sticks to themselves, and I mean, there are coaches that will look at that and go, all right, what's this guy about? Is this guy going to be good in the locker room? Da da da. I think Greg Popovich lets you be what you want to be, but I also think Joey, and I've had people say this as well who know Kawhi, and I think a lot of it comes from the fact that this guy, I mean, he lost his father when he was in his teenage years. His father was shot in an armed robbery. And he went, you know, he went to San Diego, he went to like a smallish school, and then he came out and, you know, was picked 15th. Like, Kawhi Leonard has not had a lot of stuff handed to him. And I think that may be part of it as well. But, you know, I thought it was fascinating. I came in this morning, I looked at the quote sheets that the NBA sends out, and it's almost as if, Joey, as the series went on, Kawhi started giving us more glimpse of what he is about inside, right? We started hearing more expansive answers. And you know, his answer that we played at the top of this segment, talking about the pressure on him and what people were saying, you realize that there's an awful lot going on with this guy. There's an awful lot going on with this guy. And I agree with you 100%.
And I
hope he stays. Like, you know, it's a business and all that. I would just say to Kawhi, you know what? Sign the short-term contract. Stay here. Because you can you own the country right now. And if you stay here for a couple of years and keep this thing going, you know, I don't know if it means anything to you to own a country, but you will go down as one of the greatest athletes to play in Canada ever, period.
You know what? I'll leave you with this. I think he stays and he signs that 2-year deal. I've spoken to people that would know where he's leaning, and I think he signs the 2-year deal, and I think here's why. They won. He sees what this country's about. He sees what this fan base is about. The Raptors couldn't have done a better job in managing him and his needs and his wants. And he's a guy, he's a man of faith. You talk about him losing his father, and he's a man of faith. And I think he's a guy that really values loyalty. And the Raptors believed in him when he was damaged goods, as much as we knew he more than likely would come back and be the player that he was. We didn't know that this was going to happen, but they bet on him. And I bet you that carries a lot of weight with this guy.
Joey, thanks for doing this, man. We'll be in touch.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Joey Vendetta joining us on The Blair Show. Man, I've pooched the clock again. I've done another Andy Reid with the time clock. 416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is a text line. We'll take a break, take care of some business. We'll come back. Faisal Khamisa will join us in studio. Faisal and I will take your calls. 416-870-0590, *590, 888-666-0590. 590-590 is a text line. Some great texts. We'll get to them. Somebody wanting to know if the Raptors are going to go to the White House or go to Ottawa. My guess is the Raptors don't go to the White House. My guess is they end up taking the, what is it, Larry O'B, as Kawhi calls it? My guess is they'll take Larry O'B to the House of Commons, or maybe, who did? He called it the what? The L-O-B. Okay, thank you, Travis. He called it the L-O-B. I know he called it the Larry O'B one time. My guess is they take it to the House of Commons, maybe go and have tea with the Governor General or something like that. We'll take a break. Don't go anywhere. It's the Jeff Blair Show.
Good show. Good podcast. Subscribe to podcasts of Good Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand. He's covered Olympics, World Series, Stanley Cups. We'd call him Big Game Blair, but that sounds lame. So we'll just call him Jeff. This is the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's unbelievable, man. It's unbelievable to have guys like Kyle Lowry on your team who step up and go for 15 in the first quarter, you know, but should have had 50. But, you know, he slowed down, so I just want to come out during the second half and bail him out and try to help him for his legacy. You know, they kill my man all the time in the playoffs. He gets more slandered than everybody I ever seen in the league. And so to have him be able to hold that trophy up tonight, that's what means the most for us.
Now, that was one of the great clips, post-game clips of Fred VanVleet. It's the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Toronto Raptors, probably know this by now, are the NBA champions. I was going to give Faisal Khamisa crap because I was told you slept through your wake-up call.
That's correct.
But you made it in.
I did.
And you, in fact, at the time you went to bed, why would you even have a wake-up call?
No, that's, you know,
that's like a,
at the time I went to bed, I was questioning why I committed to do your show with you at 10 in the morning.
You could always call Travis.
I could have. I could have. But you know what? I'm a man of my word. And so I showed up. It was 5:30, I think, in the morning when I finally put head to pillow. The sun was up and people were going to work. Like, I left here and Hugh Burrell was here, getting ready
That's
to start his shift, you know? And so,
it's never a good sign when you're leaving and the morning show
seen
guys
him
are coming
in years. And yeah. Now I did. And that's because last night was crazy. We did a full post game, all the press conferences, all the reaction online in our digital studio. There was an appetite, obviously, so we were here for a while. And then we're like, yo, we got to go take it in a little bit, right? So we went to Yonge and Dundas, and people were there, and they weren't leaving, despite cops and police and horses presence. But it was pretty tame. It was tame, but crazy.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, we got through the night. As I said, there's one unfortunate incident, but it seems like it got through the night pretty well. And, yeah, you know, that was good because I thought, it's funny, I thought the game five in Toronto, I thought there was a little more of an edge to the crowd at Scotiabank Arena than you normally see with a Raptors game. But no, it seems like everybody handled themselves well. Everybody had a good time.
Yeah.
And that's the way it should be. How does it feel like, man? Because I mean, I know you're a huge hoops guy. And I'm a hoops guy as well, but not to the point that you are. How does it feel like to have your team win an NBA title? Like, it is
Come on.
It's crazy to even think about it, isn't it?
That's like, you know, and I'm not, again, none of this is disparaging any other sport, but like, this is the one, right? This is the biggest one globally. Like, this game, this finals is shown all over the world. Yes, the Super Bowl is as well, but that's more for the magnitude of that game versus the sport itself. It doesn't have the cachet in the different parts of the world, in Asia and such, but this does, and this is such good branding for the Raptors in global parts of the world. You know, that's how the Warriors become popular in other parts of the world. That's why they go to China and Klay goes there every couple of years and Steph goes there. And so, you know, this, it just feels unbelievable. We were sitting here, Jeff, and it was almost the most Toronto thing ever, right? Like, all you have to do is hit free throws and you turn the ball over and it's like, oh, this is what I'm used to. This kind of anxiety, this kind of pain, this kind of stress. Oh, I know this. I don't know the other one where they're comfortably winning finals games, you know? And
so it's our power of Kawhi.
Our crew's sitting here. We have to go on in like seconds. We don't know if it's going to be a celebration show or a postmortem again after a devastating loss. And so, but that's been my whole life. And so to come out on the other side of that and to be on the victorious side of something, oh my God, it feels like I slept in. I slept through my alarm. That never happens. It's because I was up so late.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think one of the happiest guys in the world too was Danny Green, because nobody's talking about that turnover.
Oh man, Danny Green, another, again, I don't know how they pulled it out. I kept waiting for the carpet to get pulled from under them, because, you know, Mark had, you know, they wasted the big Marc Gasol game in game five, right? Like, him and Ibaka had 30 something in game five, 3 points for Marc Gasol in game six. Danny Green, again, you're looking at him like, oh my God, are you going to be the guy that everybody knows you to be? No, you're going to turn the ball over, right? And so I don't know. You know, your big guys obviously stepped up. And Steph Curry went 0 for 4 from 3 in the fourth quarter. And that, to me, that's destiny.
Yeah, it is.
That's some sort of destiny stuff. And I don't really believe in that. I'm joking mostly. But, you know, you think about it, Steph Curry going 1 for 6 and 0 for 4 and I would have bet my life on him hitting that three at the end. I would have. We were all like, okay, well, be ready for the Raptors to have 3.4 seconds left and have to hoist up a shot because this is going in. And for some reason, it missed.
Yeah, and the look in his face was,
right.
You know, it's like I knew I was hitting that shot.
Yeah, exactly.
I fall out of bed and I hit that shot. Speaking of falling out of bed, Michael Grange with Sportsnet joining us. Grange, what the hell are you doing joining us?
I just woke up, man. And saw a message from Trav, and Trav, when you got to text from Trav, man, you got to act, you got to jump.
Dude, your voice sounds awful.
Well, it'll get better.
Let's All right, talking. You get strong. You're not off to Vegas. I understand the boys are off to Vegas. Is that true?
I don't know. You probably know better than me.
I was told.
Yeah, I know they were. Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, I was told the Raps, maybe that's a state secret, is it? I was told that there was a flight to Vegas, a brief stopover in Vegas for the players. I could be wrong.
I would think anything is possible. I know I think they had a party last night in the city, and Kevin DiPietro got it organized. And I would not be surprised if there was an itinerary that included a stop to Vegas. I think they would... you know, those guys are putting the grind, man. So I'm sure they're going to figure out how to have as much fun as they possibly can.
Mike, you've covered this team for a long time. You know, we've talked ad nauseum about Kawhi Leonard, but you know the thing that I really the takeaway for me from that game last night, there are many, but the one, I was so happy for Kyle Lowry, because like I said, I've gone through the whole Kyle Lowry experience like everybody else. Thought the guy was a coach killer, you know, malcontent. Used to drive me nuts, didn't trust him. But I don't know, something happened in the last 2 years, and I said this at the top of the show, something happened in the last 2 years where I started to get my back up anytime people started hammering on Kyle. And I have no idea why that is. But, man, I was really happy for him to have that game, that start, and just, you know, the kudos he got from his teammates. I was really, really pleased for him.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, just so many journeys that guy's been on, depending on when you want to play, press start. I mean, even this year, scoreless in the first game of the playoffs, getting killed again. And then to your point, last night, 25-10-7 or something? I mean, I think that's, you know, that's, you know, those kind of numbers don't come together very often, right? Like, that's, you know, putting up that kind of stat line in an elimination game, I mean, that's you know, that's legend type stuff. And I think, especially as you point out, you know, scoring the first 11 points, I mean, you know, and doing it on purpose. I mean, he said, look, you know, I understand that when we do well, you know, it's a lot of it has to do with me being very aggressive and getting shots up and just, you know, that's really seizing the moment. And I think to your point, and you know, it's one of the cool things about following a team and is you do get to see people grow and evolve, and your understanding and appreciation grows and evolves along with it. And Kyle's probably, you know, DeMar DeRozan was that guy for a long time because you saw him really come from a kid and see the kind of man he became. And that was always really, you know, I enjoyed that personally.
Mm-hmm.
But with Kyle, you know, he came here, he wasn't a kid, but you've seen him evolve professionally and as a person, and his relationships with people kind of ebb and flow and grow. And I think, you know, so and then the constant always was what this guy did on the floor between the lines, the way he played. And I think as fans and journalists, you kind of grow with that too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you kind of start seeing, noticing over and over again, look at the plays this guy makes. Why is he the one who always comes up with a loose ball? Look how smart that play was. And it makes you a better basketball fan, right? Like you learn as you're watching. And to see him, you know, he's going to have a title and he'll be a champion. And it's a kind of a rewarding thing, even though we don't get the rewards, but it's satisfying to watch, and you are happy for him.
Another guy, and Michael Faze looking at me here, another guy I'm happy for, Masai Ujiri, obviously, right? There's a huge risk in doing what he did in the offseason, not only with the coach, but with the DeMar trade as well. There was a moment between him and Kyle Lowry last night where he couldn't help but just kind of smile at everything the two of them had been through. I know. And we heard what Masai was saying on the court about, you know, hey, we wanted to bring this to Toronto, and now we brought this to Toronto. But kind of behind the scenes yesterday, what was his kind of vibe like? Was it more relief? Was it more celebration? Was it, you know, looking over what he did with a sense of pride? How was Masai kind of handling and taking all of that in?
Well, you know what? I actually didn't get a chance to cross paths with him. Mm. I was on TV, and then he was celebrating, and I did give him, you know, I did get a chance to quick say hello as he was running over the building. but just knowing him, I think, again, I kind of sense a deep satisfaction. And I think the one thing you do see, and it relates to Kyle, it relates to everything, is you know, the championship is just so hard, right? And you see it up close, and you see the sacrifices it takes, and I know very well, you know, kind of what he was going through last year when he had to make the decision this time last year to fire Dwayne Casey and then subsequently trade DeMar DeRozan. And, you know, there weren't crocodile tears. Like, he wasn't – those things didn't rest lightly on him. And, you know, but then you have a responsibility and you have a decision to make regarding the greater good. And it's not easy. And, you know, the relationship with Kyle, that's not easy. You know, the kind of hugs they exchanged and the appreciation that they've arrived at and Kyle's arrived at for him, you know, it seeing it in person and experiencing it over the years, you know, I'll never look at a championship celebration again the same way, because chances are all that kind of same stuff happened in everyone else's championship.
Yeah,
and you know, it's not, you know, these things don't evolve kind of linearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's sort of what stuck with me.
You also performed a community service for all of us with your tweet talking to Larry Tannenbaum about Masai Ujiri and Adrian Wojnarowski's report of the $10 million a year. Basically, here's the checkbook, Masai. How much is it going to take to get you to come to Washington? And we'll throw in part ownership of the team if you want it as well. Sort of what David Dombrowski ended up getting when he went to the Detroit Tigers. And Larry Tannenbaum's response was basically that, you know, he thinks Masai is happy with he's getting what he needs to be happy here. It certainly didn't sound like somebody that was panicking about losing Masai Ujiri. What do you think happens there with Masai?
I can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that offer is, you know, I've heard some wind of it before as well. And, you know, I would say this, like Masai Ujiri, I believe, has another year after this one on his contract. and you know, the Raptors aren't going to let him go. Like they're so it'll have to be, you know, and this is a little bit similar to what happened when the Knicks came calling too. So I think, you know, the Sonny jury will, maybe there'll be an extension, maybe it'll be whatever, but you know, there's zero chance that the Raptors are going to let him leave without some, the kind of compensation that would make the Sonny jury go, well, well, what's the point of taking that job? There's no team left.
Exactly.
So that's what I would think would happen. But I mean, it's not crazy that he would pay some attention, not just the money and the equity, but I mean, I think his wife's from the area. And you know, a big thing of what Masai Ujiri is about is the kind of, you know, his work in Africa, and you're that much close to all the quarters of power in Washington. So, you know, it's, you know, I don't, it's amazing that it happened last night, but you know, he's built up the kind of reputation that teams are going to make runs like that at him, and the Raptors are going to have to get used to it.
Mr. Grange, we're going to let you run and rest your voice. Thanks so much. I appreciate you doing this, really.
All right. No problem, guys. Enjoy your day.
Yeah, thank you. Safe flight. That's Michael Grange of Sportsnet.
It took 5 minutes after the Raptors won for Adrian Wojnarowski to get that out there, right? And people were like, yo, give us our moment. Come on. Like, we waited 25 years for this. Like, come on, Woj.
I've been there. You got the story. It's maximum timing.
Of course. It's completely optimal,
Or optimal timing. Yeah, that's right. And it's really no surprise. I mean, we have heard the story. I don't think we've heard the $10 million figure attached to it, but... I'm not going to worry about that.
No.
I'm not going to worry about that now, just as I'm not going to worry about whether or not Kawhi's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
Back.
Yeah.
You know, we had Harrison Sanford in yesterday, who does the Green Room with Danny Green.
Yep.
And I mean, I don't know if he's operating on inside info, but, you know, he's pretty clear that he thinks Kawhi stays here. He signs a 2-year deal.
So does it matter now in a lot of ways? You know, yes, of course it matters in terms of basketball sense, right? But does it matter in terms of what, like, affection sense in terms of what he means to Raptors fans?
Oh, no.
This is done, right?
No, like,
he's good forever, right?
He's got a street and a statue if he wants.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any, no. God, Kawhi Leonard, I think, well, here's the thing. If Kawhi Leonard were to leave here to go to L.A., yeah. Kawhi Leonard leaves here to go to Brooklyn, he'd get the love for another year until he came back here with the Nets and stuck these guys for 30 points.
Yeah, yeah.
But
if he went to the Knicks? Ugh. You know, there's rumors about that too. Yeah, I think there are scenarios where it'd be less.
Yeah, I don't even know, because, you know, this isn't Vince. This isn't crazy. He hasn't strung anybody along.
Everything was done right.
Everything
between
was
him,
done
the
right.
Team and load management, et cetera. Like, everything, well, you won a championship, right? I mean, that's it, right?
Yeah.
It didn't matter what came before that. All the... you know, haste or hesitation before this. You won a championship. He was your finals MVP and one of the greatest postseasons ever.
Yeah.
Ever, 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 ever. And so I think you and I said this last week, like, he might be the only Raptor star, if he does leave, to come back and get an ovation that's done it, right? And it would be deserved forever and ever.
Yeah, he is. Boy, he's earned a space in, you know, in the history of Toronto sports, for sure. What does this mean for basketball across the country?
Yeah.
Faisley, you know, because again, anecdotally, okay, we see all the viewing parties and everything. You know, we had Sherm Hamilton in here last on Primetime Sports. And, you know, Sherm said, hey, I think the next step is for the Canadian men's team to win something, because that, you know, you got the Raptors will get people's attention right now, because it's, the finals, it's a 2-week run and, you know, you can watch it and you can consume it every day. But the other sort of casual fan, he'll stop watching. He or she will stop what they're doing to watch anybody with a Maple Leaf do anything.
Well,
snowboard, whatever. And
basketball's got to be next then, right? And while the World Championship's coming up this summer, I mean, the time difference is going to make it really difficult for people to want to get in on that, respectfully. But Canada's got a great... I mean, if everybody plays as they should, like, Canada's got a really good team going to China as well. And so I think there is an opportunity for them to... I don't know if they're better than the States, but at least compete with some of the big guns in the world right now. And... you know, in terms of generations to come, I mean, I was at Sick Kids a couple of days ago just visiting a friend's kid that was there, and that was the day after Game 5. And they had a viewing party at Sick Kids in Game 5 for those kids because they wanted them to get in on the action. And this kid that I went to go visit, not a sports person by any means, loves sharks, loves dinosaurs, all those things, which is amazing.
Right.
I got to his room to see him 2 days ago. Raptors hat on that he won at the Raptors party. He made a little Raptors basketball net out of Play-Doh and paper that all the kids got to make. And all he wanted to do was talk about Kawhi Leonard. And you know, that sticks with you as a kid. Moments like that stay with you because you see that everybody is, you know, and he's 5 years old. You're not young enough to kind of forget it, but you know, you don't really understand it, but you know what you're doing. And so all he wanted to do was play basketball on his little net, which meant I got to get up and go pick up this ball that he kept missing from. But it was amazing. It was just amazing to watch, right? And amazing to see how a guy who had no interest in this, a kid who had no interest in this, a family who had no interest in sports, despite, you know, my relationship with them, they're so into this right now. And Sick Kids had another party yesterday. They're doing everything they can to ensure that the kids there are as involved in what's going on as anybody else. And I think, again, that will have an effect in years to come because this sport has grown in a lot of people's eyes. Jeff, I went to a viewing party at a museum on Friday to do a story because I thought it was such a cool concept that a museum known for art, known for culture, known for history was projecting a sports game on their exterior walls. You know, this whole country was going crazy. And I think, you know, whether it's people staying up to watch the World Championship or not, I don't think we need to judge them on that. But I think the Raptors certainly and the sport will have traction for years to come, especially now that they won the championship. Not that they lost. It's like, okay, that was a fun ride. Let me go back to my business. They won, Jeff, and I think that stuff matters.
It will be interesting to see, and, you know, maybe we'll get some information on this at some point from MLSE, but it'll be interesting to see what plans there are for the trophy. Is it going to go across the country?
Yeah.
You know, look, the team is owned by Rogers and Bell. Will there be, you know, Rogers and Bell outlets sharing the trophy in different parts of the country? It is a, and of course, as someone on the text line asked today, if you're the Raptors, do you go to the White House?
No.
But do you go to the House of Commons?
Yeah.
Do you go to the Governor General's? I mean, there's so many. There's so many things, there's so many ways this could go. But yeah, basketball has a lot of, sort of inherent strengths. Economically, you can spend a fortune in shoes, but I mean, economically, your kid can play basketball. You don't have to mortgage the house for your kid to play basketball. And I know people who've done this, you do. For them to play hockey.
Mm-hmm. I played both growing up, and my parents would always want me to play basketball more than they play hockey. That's, again, I played hockey more because I loved it more, and they'd ultimately let me do it, but they wish that I played basketball more than I did hockey. I know that.
Yeah, and it fits, you know, the demographic, not just in terms of the social demographic and the economic demographic, but the sort of the social media demographic. Mm-hmm. It is a sport. It's a sport made. It's a sport made for social media. And you know, someone pointed out yesterday that one of the real – it was actually Harrison again, Danny Green's host
– podcast host.
Podcast host. And I asked him, why is NBA social media so cool? Like, yeah, the players are great. The players are the best professional athletes to deal with. And he made an interesting point. He said it's because it's a highlight league. Like, you can capture a shot – and it's out there in social media right away. And not only is it a highlight league, but you see what the guy looks like. He's not wearing a helmet. He's not wearing a batting helmet. He's not wearing a hockey helmet. He's not in pads. So you get to see the whole thing.
I think the NBA was really smart as well in not, you know, restricting those highlights from circulating on social media. Other sports leagues, I won't mention them, if you post any content from them on social, especially sports that need to grow, your either Twitter is suspended for a second or that tweet is automatically deleted or flagged. The NBA doesn't care. That's how they grew their sport on social media. They have more followers on Instagram than the NFL, the Major League Baseball, and the NHL have combined.
Yep.
Think about that for a second. The NFL, everyone says, is the global sport. Well, all the money's made on this device that I'm holding in my left hand right now through that Instagram app right now. Yep. And the NBA has capitalized on that more than ever. The players have capitalized on their own brands more than ever. And that's why I think the sport is so appealing and so fun because, again, it goes beyond just the highlights, right? The NBA won't tweet out or post any of the drama that goes on, but that in itself becomes a subplot through any season, through any narrative, through any week of the NBA season. There's just something going on. Even, look, 5 seconds after the Raptors win the championship, we found out Clay tears his ACL. Masai is getting offers for $10 million. After game 5, it was Anthony Davis could be traded in minutes. Kevin Durant suffered an Achilles. Like, there's always something else going on with this league. It never sleeps. And, you know, in the era that we live in now, 24/7 news cycle, something has to switch to get your attention. Well, the league's found a way to capitalize on that more than ever.
I know you got a lot of work today. I'm going to let you go. Thanks for doing this.
I still have to work. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
All right. Thanks,
Jeff. Try to grab your 5 minutes. There's a couch back there if you want to. I'll make sure you wake up. Thanks, Faisal. Thanks for doing this.
Of course.
Faisal Khamis of Sportsnet. And, again, we'll be, rest assured that we'll be all over social media today leading up to the parade as well. I have to keep slapping myself every time I keep mentioning parade because I'm used to that being a Toronto sports joke. Oh, at least won 4 games in a row. Plan the parade. All right, Faisal Khamis joining us. Brandon Hurley's a sports editor of the Jefferson Herald, the Carroll Daily Times Herald, the Guthrie County Times Vedette in Iowa. That's 3 papers. He works for Nick Nurse's hometown paper from Carroll, Iowa. And we mentioned yesterday we had Jeff Horner on, a guy from Iowa who played for Nick Nurse. Nick Nurse, to me, you know, we just still don't know, I think, as much about Nick Nurse as we'd like to know. And I don't think he wants us to. He's a pretty private guy. That's obvious. He's not comfortable. It's not that he's not comfortable talking about himself. He just doesn't necessarily see the need to talk about himself all that much. But Brandon Hurley, this is a dream assignment for him. Basically, guy from his hometown, coaching in the NBA Finals. So Brandon Hurley got to be with him every step of the way and experience an NBA Finals. Brandon Hurley will join us. We'll take a deeper look at Nick Nurse, and we will go to your phone calls, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590, 590-590 on the text line. Sid 6-0 is as well. All that ahead on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Because hockey hasn't completely taken over your life yet. Subscribe to podcasts of Hockey Central at Noon through iTunes or your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
What do you think your story says as far as a guy who played mid-major, a guy who had to go to Britain, a guy that had to win a couple titles in the G League before you got that phone call to come talk about offense? And what do you think your story is going to mean to the coach who doesn't think he's ever going to get the shot?
Well, I would hope it inspires some people that are in those situations to keep working. You know, I always say that all those jobs meant the world to me at the time. Right, winning with Birmingham in 96 or winning with Rio Grande Valley, whatever year that was. And those games and jobs meant the world to me, and I loved all those jobs. And I think you can't do very good work if you don't love what you're doing. And I never really got discouraged. I didn't really care at the level I was coaching at. I was just trying to learn and get better. That's it.
That is Nick Nurse speaking last night after the Raptors beat the Golden State Warriors 114-110, Game 6. Toronto Raptors are the NBA champions. Came across a story on The Ringer yesterday. And if you remember, Jeff Horner on yesterday, who played for Nick Nurse in the G League. And I was talking to Jeff about how we really didn't know that much about Nick. Nick didn't, you know, a lot of it just came from the fact that when Nick was given the job, there was a bunch of other stuff going on around the team. And the farther the Raptors went along in the playoffs and the more people tried to find out about Nick Nurse, it was almost as if he decided that he wasn't all that interested in having people find out that much about him. And anyway, we started talking about Nick Nurse, and I asked Jeff about the box and one that Nick pulled out in game 2. And he laughed and said, yeah, I saw that in TV, and I'm thinking to myself, that's some real Iowa stuff right there. They say that all news is local. It is very true. And Brandon Hurley is a sports editor of the Jefferson Herald, the Carroll Daily Times Herald, the Guthrie County Times Vedette. He is the, I'm going to call you the Nick Nurse whisperer. That's probably much like Danny Green was the Kawhi Leonard whisperer, but essentially you are from Nick Nurse's, your paper, the hometown paper in Carroll. And you've spent a fair amount of time with him. And just tell us the story about how you got here, literally, because we all know, I mean, look, I'm a former newspaper guy for a long time.
Oh, great.
Newspapers are not in the best financial shape right now. But here you are covering the NBA Finals.
Well, it's good to know that you're a newspaper guy. I can relate even more with you. And first of all, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I got here not by plane, but by car. Mm-hmm. It was a 14-hour drive from, I live in Boone, Iowa, which is about 45 minutes from Carroll. So it was 14 hours there to here, and it was a grind. Like I was talking to you earlier, that drive from Detroit to Toronto is a long one.
Yeah.
But I think last night definitely made the trip worth it for sure.
So what did you do last night? Because you didn't go to Golden State because that's a long drive.
Yeah.
Oakland's a long drive. So what'd you do last night and how did you experience sort of the end of this part of the Nick Nurse story?
So since I was here for game five on Monday, I was actually at the game. So I figured since I'm still here last night, figured, hey, I'll go down to try to get into Jurassic Park and experience the outdoor fan part of the game. And I went there and was on probably one of there was about five big screens throughout downtown, and I was on one of those. And it was just an unbelievable experience. It was electric throughout. But you could tell there was a lot of nervousness, too, in the crowd, especially when they threw that ball away at the end.
Danny Green, yeah.
There was just an audible gasp. You could probably hear it all through downtown.
That's Toronto, yeah.
It was.
You probably figured out that we do not have a great deal of faith in our professional sports franchises, to put it mildly.
Yeah, I could tell. But then when Steph's shot went up there in the air, it felt like it hung there forever. But then everybody just erupted, and it was tremendous. There was fireworks everywhere. There was smoke bombs, I think, red smoke bombs. I was right below the CN Tower, like right at the base. So it was cool just to be underneath that and have that all just happen all at once.
Now tell us about your Drake story. Because this is, well, we'll give people a little bit of background. Nick Nurse went to Kemper Catholic.
Yeah, Kemper Catholic High School in Carroll.
Right.
I didn't meet Drake, but I met a guy who was talking to Drake at the game on Monday night.
Right.
I was walking around the court just pregame, probably an hour before the game, just trying to take it all in because it's an NBA Finals game. Mm-hmm. And I see a guy wearing a Kemper High School Catholic jersey, or Kemper Catholic High School jersey, with Nick Nurse on the back. And I was like, hey, I recognize that jersey because I cover Kemper Catholic every week of the year. And so I walk, and he was happened to be talking to Drake, and I was like, this is incredible. What the heck is going on? So I walk over to him. Unfortunately, Drake was already gone by the time I got to him, and introduced myself, and it happens to be that he turns out and tells me that he's Frank Molak, and he was a teammate of Nick's on their 1985 state championship team, which is still the only basketball state championship in that high school's history. So it was just
unbelievable. That's
outstanding.
Yeah. I mean, that for a reporter, that's gold.
It was awesome.
That makes the whole trip worthwhile.
It does.
It really does.
And I posted on Twitter, and that tweet obviously just went viral. It went crazy. So it was awesome. And then he went on to explain that most of Nick's family was also at the game. Two of his sisters and I think four of his brothers were there. And so it was just a really cool moment to have multiple Carroll connections up in Toronto for a finals game.
Tell us about Carroll.
It's a small town in Iowa, about 10,000 people. It's not too terribly small in Iowa terms, but on the grand scheme of things, it's a pretty small town, especially
I grew up in a town of 6,000. So
you're kind of familiar with what it is. It's a blue-collar town, but they love their sports. Obviously, high school's huge in that community. So since Nick is from Kemper Catholic High School, they've just latched on to him because that's a really historically rich sports school in the state of Iowa. They're a private school, and so they do pretty well. And so it's just a low-key town. there are a few stoplights in town. There's a Walmart. A lot of Carroll can be seen in Nick's personality. He's number one, he's a tremendously hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
And you could tell by his career resume. I mean, he's taken so many different jobs all over the world. And number two, with those jobs, he's proven he's a winner.
Mm-hmm.
And Carroll has, like I said, they're a kind of a strong, tradition-rich town. And so he's proven, like last night, that he can win everywhere he goes. And then number three, Carroll's, like, if you talk to anybody from Iowa that is familiar with Iowa, Iowans are very open and very nice. A lot of, they kind of get the same rep that Canadians get. Mm-hmm. It's like they're very open and friendly and whatnot. So Nick obviously displays that with his players, in press conferences. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of just looking for three things to describe Carroll, that's pretty much what it is.
You know, you made an interesting point in one of your articles, and you, it was actually the Ringer article mentioned as well. And I've noticed this about Nick. Nick will, when he answers a question, now it's hard, you know, when you're in a big scrum, but when he does his little things after regular season games, he looks you in the eye when he answers your mm-hmm. question. So he's not kind of glancing off into the distance. He also drops in the names.
Yeah, he does that a lot, too.
Of the reporter. You know, and people are going to say, roll their eyes. I can see them right now. That is, if you were to give a head coach a rule in any sport, drop the reporter's name. You instantly, first of all, it puts you on a completely different level. And I'll tell you what, if you drop the reporter's name, you're probably not going to get a bad story written about you for the most part.
Especially if it's on national TV, like a finals game.
Especially if it's on national TV, exactly. You do that and it's like, whoa. But he's an interesting guy because, you know, like we made a big deal about Fred VanVleet, you know, and leaving and the birth of his child and all that. And, you know, a lot of us didn't even know that Nick's, that was expecting.
I didn't know that either until someone mentioned it.
Yeah, Michael Grange mentioned in a news conference, congratulations on the birth of your child. And everybody's going, what?
That's some deep sourcing right there.
That's some very deep sourcing. Is he a private guy, essentially, or is it just that he doesn't think that it's that important that people know all about him?
I think it's a little bit of both. He's definitely a very private guy. He mentions his kids from time to time when I'm talking to him, but mm-hmm. he never kind of really provokes it himself. And like the baby, I had no idea that he was expecting either. And also part of it is he's even mentioned it to me. He doesn't necessarily think a lot of the stuff is important.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks obviously like the winning and the championships right. are important, but I don't think where he won or how he won, I don't think he thinks is important, but to people on the outside, it's incredible. Yeah. I mean, he's been all over England. He took small jobs, big jobs. He was part owner of a team in Brighton. He drove guys around on road trips. He used when in his first job in Derby, England, in the early 90s, he was a player coach, and so he'd get done playing a game, and then he'd jump in his car and drive around and scout games because he was the coach. And nobody in the NBA would ever do that now. And so it's crazy. And I guess I kind of went off on a tangent, but
there's an intellectual curiosity to him, isn't there? Like he's curious about things.
Yeah. He wants to learn.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I've picked up most is he's always wanting to learn. He even, when he was with the Iowa Energy with Jeff Horner, when they won that championship in the D League, that summer he taught himself how to play the blues on the piano. Mm-hmm. Taught himself, took Harvard online classes, and then he ended up writing a magazine piece about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, who does that? Who tries to learn the blues on the piano in the off season when you're probably preparing for next year?
It's great stuff. So you've got a long drive back. When are you leaving?
Probably fairly soon after this interview. I've been here since Monday, so I think it's time to get home. I'd love to stay for the parade, but I've been here pretty long. I've got a son at home that misses me, and I miss him too. So I gotta get back. He doesn't like basketball as much as I do.
No,
so.
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to see the parade. What's been the coolest thing about this for you, just as a reporter? Like, because I always tell people, you know, people say, what was the best thing about you covering this assignment or that assignment? I said, it's the weird stuff. It's like the people you run into. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with a particular assignment, but just something happens to you along the way. And I used to keep notes of all the little odd things that happened to me along the way. What's kind of the neatest thing that happened?
This is kind
of Drake story is pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good. There's been a lot of things, but I'd have to say this kind of sounds a little, I don't know, braggy a little bit, but it's stuff like this, the Ringer article. Mm-hmm. And then I've had several different interview requests after that came out, and I've been reading The Ringer for years, and I love Bill Simmons and I love all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And to have a guy like Brian Curtis call me up and interview me for about an hour and then write a really amazing piece about me has been probably the coolest thing. Cause then CBC had me on TV twice and I'm doing this radio show, and it's just, it's all been a whirlwind, and that's really cool. And I completely unexpected too.
Well, listen, I mean, I could tell you, I know, Guys who work at smaller papers, I mean, I know the hours they put in. I've got a lot of friends who started out there. The hours they put in, the amount of writing they do, the amount of good writing. And trust me, I would be willing to bet that the stories you have written probably mean more to a lot of kids and their parents than what you think this feels to you right now. So it's great. And thanks so much for joining us. We wish you a safe trip back, and keep in touch.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me
on. Thank you. Brandon Hurley. He's got a 14-hour drive, and you're going to Detroit?
Yeah, that's the easiest route, and so I'll be going to Detroit. I'm hoping to get 8 hours in today, but we'll see how soon I tire out or not.
Take care. Brandon Hurley, sports editor at the Jefferson Herald, the Carroll Daily Times Herald, the Guthrie County Times Vidette in Iowa. Thanks so much for joining us, and again, safe travels. We'll be back with more of The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Jim and Sid. So funny, you might pee a little. Luckily, you can listen on the can. Subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Every show is a social experiment, and you're part of the test. Climb in our germ-filled petri dish of sports, and let's put the world under a microscope. This is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I just thought it was in. I always think every shot Steph takes is going in. So, but they don't all go in. So, but what a warrior, no pun intended. You know, Steph was getting hounded this entire series. Toronto did a great job on him, sending 2-3 people at him, hounding him and harassing him. And, you know, especially without Clay to rely on in that fourth quarter, I thought he got a little worn down.
That is Steve Kerr, the head coach of the Golden State Warriors. After last night's elimination by the Toronto Raptors, and kudos to the Warriors. As I've said, and mentioned this with Tim Legler earlier in the show, they've been a good champion. And for the most part, they've done it the right way. And it was good hearing the post-game comments from Warriors players and the amount of credit that was given. The amount of credit that was given to both teams. You know, I made that point earlier in this series that one of the things I really liked about the series, I mean, there was the whole Draymond Green Drake thing, which is really kind of, you know, good fun more than anything else. But the tone, the respectful tone between the teams, I think really, as I said, it says a lot. I mean, there are ways you go down as a champion and you can look really bad. And you can be real jackasses about it. We've all, you know, we've known teams that do that. But man, if you measure a champion by the way they handle losing, the Golden State Warriors, I think did themselves proud in this particular series. But as I said, they are no longer the NBA champions. the Larry O'Brien Trophy, or the LOB, as Kawhi calls it, or the, what was the other one? Larry OB is coming to Toronto, and as we mentioned, a parade to be held on Monday. Sid Sixero is host of Tim and Sid and Sportsnet. I don't know if there's any truth to the rumor that you're going to be the parade marshal.
No, I can tell you I'm not going to be the parade marshal. I don't know if I can confirm whether or not I'll be a part of the actual day yet. But I think Tim and I might find our way down there.
I would think you probably will.
Yeah, I'm hearing whispers. They won the NBA title last night, Jeff.
I know. We had Faisal Khamisa in here, and he pretty clearly was still trying to digest it. I don't know. I didn't have any of that. It's going to take a while to sink in. And I think it's because of Kawhi. I believe in Kawhi. You know, I think that's what it is. We had the best. I mean, you always say this in basketball, right? You got the best player in the court. You've taken a real good step forward to winning. And I will admit this. I didn't realize how complete a player Kawhi Leonard was. I thought he was a good two-way player, real good defensive player. There was much more to his game offensively than I thought. And Tim Legler used the great description talked about the precision of his game. And that's exactly, he's a precise player. He's like a machine.
He's, what player in the league right now? Now, it's the morning after he won an NBA title and another Finals MVP, so maybe the judgment's a little cloudy. But what player would you take him over right now? Honestly. LeBron at this stage, would you take LeBron at this stage over 27-year-old Kawhi Leonard?
I'd have to think about it. I'd have to think. And I love LeBron. And I'm a LeBron guy. I've been all in on LeBron since he came into the league. But, I still really like Kevin Durant's game. Now, granted, he's gone for a year at least. I don't know. I'll tell you what, I'll tell you this much. If I was an NBA team right now and I got some money to spend in the offseason, like if I'm Brooklyn, I'm busting my ass to try to talk to Kawhi. Kyrie, whatever, we'll deal with you when we're done. If I'm a team that's got space to make moves and is motivated to make moves, he's the first guy I'm talking to. And Anthony Davis, whatever, take a number. I'm going after Kawhi first. Kawhi and Zion Williamson might be the two players I'd be most intrigued in adding right now.
Agreed. But when you look at some of those other names that like are, Kyrie Irving doesn't lift your team.
No.
We've seen this. And I was a Kyrie guy forever. And I was like, he was going to Boston and he's going to be the guy. Nope. Mm-hmm. That team was better when those dudes were hurt, when him and Gordon Hayward were not there.
Yep. Oh, yeah, when it was Terry Rozier should have been running the damn team this year, and they probably would have gone farther in the playoffs.
I know. Just ask Terry Rozier. He'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis can't lift a team like this. Maybe one day. But in this moment, as you and I speak, he can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can take him out of a series. We saw it. James Harden is one-dimensional and selfish. He's not lifting a team. He wants to take 60 shots.
Mm-hmm.
Find me the guy in this league, in this moment, that you take over Kawhi. I don't see it, Jeff. I don't see the guy. And remember the discussion was he wasn't going to report?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell has gone on in the last 10 months. This is the craziest sports story I've seen in this country since Ben Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm serious. Like this should not have come close to playing out the way it did. It was the biggest gamble I've seen any GM of any Canadian franchise make. And it worked out.
Yeah. And with a rookie coach too, which
with a rookie head coach, shout out Nick Nurse. Great interview you just did, Jeff, by the way. That added a lot of layers to Nick. But when you pull it all back, what's the common denominator? And it's Masai. the balls on this man.
Yeah.
No, it's staggering. And the second Woj put out that report last night that the Wizards are all over him, I looked at that and I said to myself, yep, I get it. And I'm surprised. I'd be shocked if you don't hear two or three other teams doing the exact same thing over the next week.
Well, and look,
why
we know,
not?
No, I why wouldn't you? You're getting a guy who knows how to put together. You're getting a guy who knows how to put together a championship team without a lottery pick. You know, you're getting again, and that's the thing. The resume now with this title. Nobody's resume is ever complete when you're a general manager, but you now know you're getting a guy. Like, name me a team you wouldn't want Masai Ujiri running. Name me a team you wouldn't want him running. There's not one. There isn't a team in the NBA that wouldn't take Masai Ujiri running them right now because, you know, the guy can win with, you know, undrafted dudes, guys who were taken in the second round, international guys. He can bring guys in from other organizations. He can bring guys in coming off down years. Why wouldn't you?
And what you get with Masai is, I mean, this isn't just the president. With everything else he has going on, like, he is truly an ambassador for your city.
Mm-hmm.
He is and how do you not respect a man who not only is one of the smartest basketball minds in the league, if not the smartest right now? How do you not respect a guy who pours so much into passion projects that he values, mm-hmm. into his respect for Nelson Mandela that we all have? You're not getting just a GM. He is not from this universe. And if I'm any other team in the league, $10 million a year, $30 million a year to bring that guy in, because he rises all boats.
Yeah,
and his spirit, his will, the respect he carries. You think Barack Obama's walking around with just anybody? the pedestal I put Masai up on, it can't be high enough. The man can walk on water for me. I can't believe what he just pulled off.
Yeah, well, and we should mention, I don't want to avoid this, but everybody is aware that there is that report out there as well from an Oakland news outlet about either Masai being pushed or pushing a police officer, and we're monitoring that. There's video of it that is just, as most video, is absolutely inconclusive. But anyhow.
Well, we've all forgotten our press passes now and again, Jeff. I've been in that situation myself. Get the hell out of my way. I had a job to do.
Yeah.
I've been there. Oh,
we've all, and, you know, people laugh, but it's true.
Some guy working there for half a season who wants to play the role. Get the hell out of my way. Believe me, I've been there. I haven't even seen the video. Masai was in the right.
Yeah.
I haven't even seen the video.
How significant is this win? You know, of all the things we've seen in Toronto sports and Canadian sports in your lifetime, I always tell people the greatest Canadian, for me, the greatest single Canadian sports moment, still Donovan Bailey, for a variety of reasons, because of what was at stake, because of who was in that race, and because of what we needed, you know, what our country needed at that time after what happened with Ben Johnson. This is right up there. And I don't know if it'll be that way across the country. But I'm not entirely unconvinced. I look at those TV numbers. You get 6.5 million Canadians to watch something they might not normally watch. Sid, something's happened in the country when that happens. When people go to Mosaic Field in Regina to watch a basketball game, something's happened in the country.
I mean, Jeff, they might have got 6 million last night, the three letter, just for that post game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the level that we're talking about. Now, are all these new fans across the country going to be watching the Raptors when they're fighting for eighth in game 71 of the season? I don't know. But, Jeff, this is a different poll.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to tell people for years, the Jays' moment was 92-93. They did not become a national brand until that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I don't care if they won the AL East. I don't care if they already had success. I don't care if they had a new stadium. It didn't happen until they were on CBS and CTV across the country, And then the Jays became what they still are today. They're still pulling in okay numbers, mm-hmm. TV-wise, which blows my mind. But it's a habit now.
Yeah.
And, Jeff, I think you're right. I think this is going to become a habit. My folks stayed up and watched that game last night.
My mother, God love her, stayed up and watched the game. And I don't think she's ever seen a basketball game in her life, but she started watching it this year. Started watching it during the playoffs, and she loves Kyle Lowry, and there you go. And she's watching the game to watch number 7. And as she did tell me the last time, she said the referees seem to, how did she describe it the last time I spoke to her? She said, they don't always call the same thing, do they? And I said, no, Mom, welcome to the world of being an NBA fan. They don't.
Very smart lady, your mom.
but that, you know, you're seeing that. Because there's not much else going on right now either. That's the other thing. There's no Canadian teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I'm not getting into the whole hockey versus basketball thing, but, the Raptors took advantage of having the floor to themselves, right?
No, but let's get into that, though. Because this is a conversation people don't want to have. I'd like to get into this.
All right.
The Raptors, since 94, have an NBA title. Every other Canadian team has zip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how many kids waking up today are telling the parents, I'd like to play basketball this fall. I want to go to a camp this summer, which needs a pair of shoes and a ball.
Yep. And a hoop. Find me a hoop.
And a hoop.
That's it.
I mean, I just think, I'm not saying Canadian hockey teams aren't trying to win. Obviously, they're trying to win, but they need to get their head out of their ass at some point. Because there is a fever out there for winning in this country. And I know it's more polarized than hockey, but someone on the hockey side needs to take advantage of this. This is a joke. For a country of this size and this much passion, to have one major championship, all due respect to MLS and TFC, to have one major championship in this country since 94, and it's not hockey.
Yep.
There's way too much ego in the hockey world in this country. No, everyone thinks their bleep doesn't stink. It's been a joke what's gone on in this country, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And these teams better shape up because they're missing out on revenue. They're missing out on fans. They're missing out on the next generation. Do you know how many young kids on social media last night weren't thinking about hockey at all? A lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
And I've said, and I know Brian Burke is a very eloquent spokesman about this, and he's been talking about this for, God, for years. You know, at some point, hockey's going to have a moment where they're just going to say, is it right that we're charging people this much money to buy equipment? It's a hockey equipment. It's not medical equipment. Is it right that we're charging this much money to outfit kids and then charging their families this much money for ice time? Like, I get it. It's free enterprise. I understand that completely. But I don't know, Sid, if a sport can grow when the developmental basis of that sport is all about making money. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the reasons I think having sports at the high school level is so important, because you avoid having that sort of, you know, we're going to develop your son into a good hockey player, but we want to make a profit while we do it. And I think hockey's got it's going to have a moment where that is going to have to be addressed, because they're pricing a lot of people out. And I know, again, anecdotally, our street, our friends, not a lot of their kids play hockey anymore. Not a lot of them play hockey. They're all playing basketball. They're all playing soccer. And, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. And I don't see that changing.
Market correction. It happens in everything.
Mm-hmm.
You charge something for an extended period of time, eventually things will level out to a different type of price tag for you. And again, you're right. It's free enterprise in terms of the hockey leagues to join and the equipment companies. They've charged what they've wanted for a long time. But again, I go back to it. Basketball had a big night in this country for a lot of reasons last night. And if you're a sport on the throne, look, hockey's still going to be – Stanley Cup Finals still got like 3 million people for Game 7.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey's fine. But there are some years being wasted here by Canadian hockey franchises, and it's staggering to me. With the resources, the fan interest, the money that cities are throwing at teams for entertainment districts and whatnot, to not capitalize on how badly Canadians want to see a team win. And again, I know in hockey it would be different. The Raptors are very unique. It blows my mind sitting here in this moment. Jeff, try and picture what Monday is going to look like.
Oh.
And think of the last 25 years or so that have been just pissed away by other franchises in this country due to ineptitude and incompetence. My only point here is at some point, there's going to be a price to pay for that. Because if you have a lot of young people in this country who care more about one sport over another, MLS is killing Canadian football, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's only so much so much space and money in the entertainment market for people to spend, especially nowadays. And what happened last night was major. Just major. And it's a reminder of how much Canadians want to win. Like, if the Habs were to win the Cup, Toronto wouldn't look like that. I get it.
Yep.
And if the Oilers won a Cup, Calgary wouldn't look like that.
No. Nor would Winnipeg, trust me.
Nor Winnipeg, yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I really hope the NHL teams in this country shape up. Because some other sports are catching up. This is not going to die down soon. You know full well what the ad revenues are going to be like for the Raptors for the next 2 years off this.
Oh,
regardless
yes.
of how they do.
Yep.
There are people, there are all-night parties going on in offices in the Rogers building today. And it's a three-letter. So just, my main point here is I'm really happy for hardcore basketball supporters in this country and guys who cover the sport, because that was significant. And it was significant for a lot of reasons.
We're going to let you run, my friend. Save some ammo for this afternoon. I'll be looking forward to it.
Thanks, brother.
All righty. Sid Sixero of Tim and Sid. And I imagine Mr. Sixero will have more to say about that in the afternoon hours. I was thinking about a lot of people, pardon me, last night as that game was winding down. Funnily enough, strangely enough, I had a couple of people reach out to me on Twitter and say, "Do you think at all about Raptorized John last night?" And I said, "Yeah, that was one of the." As a matter of fact, I came in here and I was trying. I desperately wanted to see if we had any tape of Raptorized John, who was. He might have been, when I started doing the show, he might have been sort of the first regular. I mean, him, Clifton and Etobicoke, Eddie and Fort Erie, there are a lot of, we're lucky, we have a lot of regulars coming on. But Raptorized John, he would have been in his absolute glory this morning. So thought about him a little bit. You know, I made the point earlier about, I covered university basketball in Manitoba. It was the first thing I covered as a reporter, and I started thinking of guys like Martin Riley, guys that I knew who were good basketball players who kind of kept the flame going, you know, and sort of kept the sport alive. And then, of course, eventually we got to the point where you had guys like Leo Routens. And, of course, now we know what the state of basketball in Canada is like. But I also thought to myself, wonder what Chuck Swirsky was thinking about when he watched this game. So we're very pleased to be joined by the former voice of the Raptors, Chuck Swirsky. Mr. Swirsky, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. We're having a great deal of fun and just thinking.
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah.
Jeff, I just want to say congratulations on the Jack Rainey Award.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I'm serious about this. Listen, I'm a big fan of yours. And I'm thrilled that the Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame has recognized your skill and your talent. You know, this is very prestigious, and I hope you enjoy the moment. I really do. I think it's fantastic.
Well, I will, and thank you very much. Thank you for the words. I do appreciate it. What did you think last night? Chuck, who did you think of last night?
Well, I'll tell you who I thought of. Number one, I thought of Nelson Millman, who actually brought myself and Jack Armstrong into Toronto to call the play-by-play for the Raptors for the 98-99 season. And I thought of all the men and women who have gone through the Air Canada Centre, now Scotia Bank, part-time employees, people who sell the hot dogs, who park the cars, who bleed Raptors ball, who went through some very lean, tough years, but they always came back. And I'm thinking about Larry Tannenbaum, who has such a tremendous respect, and people admire him so much, Jeff, in the NBA, and his wife, Judy, always there, mid-court. Just a lot of emotions. All the players that came through, coaches that came through, executives that came through, and then, of course, the fan base. I mean, I'm still at this point, I'm literally very, very emotional. Even though I've been removed from it for 11 years, it still hits home because of the foundation that was built with a baby franchise when I joined it.
Yeah, and people, I think, need to realize when you are a play-by-play announcer for a team, you're there every day, and you're on the charter, and you're on the bus, and you do tend to get to know people in a different way than the public knows them, or even in some of the written media know them, and you kind of I think you understand their weaknesses and strengths as a person maybe a little more than their weaknesses and strengths as a player, and you do you develop an affinity for the people you travel with. You spend a lot of time with the same people in an airplane. You have to develop an affinity for them, or you drive each other nuts.
Yes, you're right, Jeff. You know what, Jeff? This is a business. I get it, but it's also a family, and you go through some ups and downs. You're with the same group of people from training camp, which is in, early October, mid-October, until the end of the season. Sometimes that season ended the second week in April. Sometimes now, obviously, for the Raptors, for this era, it's been going on for late May and June. But, we're imperfect. But when it comes time to broadcast or do your job as a professional, you have to block everything out. It's almost like a player. And so when you're with that group, that core of people, you hope that, your essence of your soul is that you want to see people do well. You really do. And that was always my mantra, so to speak, that I went into every game as a broadcaster having to report the integrity of the sport as a communicator. But deep down inside, and I think people know this from watching and listening over the years, that I wanted this ball club to do well. I was very, very passionate about my profession. And that's why it's great to see 24 years in the making where they win a championship. I think it's outstanding.
How do you think history is going to look at this NBA final? We had Tim Legler on, and I asked him about that. And I'm not getting at, the Golden State Warriors were beaten up, put an asterisk beside or anything like that. I'm just wondering about when people look back at this, are they going to think first and foremost, do you think of Kawhi?
Well, there are a lot of storylines, Chip. That's an excellent question. I'll tell you how it's being framed here in the States. Number one, there is no asterisk. Okay, none, zero. But there were ripple effects because of the playoff system with the Golden State Warriors. Losing Durant, Cousins comes back. Durant returns. Durant blows out his Achilles. Thompson is banged up. Thompson comes back. Then last night, Thompson with an ACL. No one knew there was an ACL until after the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, the way he went down and then he's going off and he's being carried off. Then all of a sudden he comes back, hits two free throws. And then he went back, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're going to look at it, and they'll say, okay, come back. And he never came back. It was announced. But in the States, I think people are talking really about the future of the Golden State Warriors and the future of Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. There is short-term memory here. hey, Jeff, last night, within seconds of winning an NBA championship, their first, Woj throws the Woj bomb out about the sigh. And the Washington Wizards are thinking, come on, let this breathe a little bit. They're not even off the court.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking, because I know Woj a little bit from his days back when he was covering some baseball, and I know that he's probably thinking to himself, and look, Woj is as competitive as anybody, but he knows what's happening here too. He says, I got to do this, but I know what's happening here.
I get it. Listen, he is Woj for a reason. He's unbelievable. He really is unbelievable. I don't think I've ever come across someone who has the amount of resources and contacts he has for one particular sport. And this is very, very competitive. But, I mean, the timing of everything, Jeff. Yeah. So, you know what? Let's take nothing, absolutely nothing away from the Raptors. They earned this. They were, you know, they were so resilient, not only in the series with Philadelphia and Milwaukee down 2-0. And, you know, they went four. I mean, it was just an unbelievable story this year for the Raps. I mean, think about this, Jeff. You go in, Dwayne Casey is beloved by everyone, Jeff. Everyone loves and respects Dwayne Casey. And Masai has to make a tough call saying, you know what, we need to change. I'm making a change. And he talks to a few people and he goes, you know, I'm going with Nick Nurse. Okay. And then all of a sudden he goes, you know what, I got Kawhi on the radar here and he wants out and I can offer a player that right now might entice San Antonio to think about things. And I mean, those are two significant decisions made by your president of basketball ops. And it worked.
Yep. Chuck, we're going to let you scoot, man. Great to talk to you this morning. Thanks so much.
Jeff, congrats again.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Be well. Chuck Swirsky, longtime voice of the Raptors. And as I said, there are people you think about when you have a night like last night. And, well, as I said out on Twitter, there's a great picture of Eric Smith and Paul Jones. And I called them my guys because they've, if you listen to the show, you know how good they are with us. And you know how, I mean, they go above and beyond when it comes to showing up in the show after late nights, late arrivals, games where your voice just doesn't necessarily feel the best. So, we go talk to Chuck Swirsky. It only makes sense. We'll move on. We'll bring Paul Jones on. He is our Raptors radio analyst on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Did you get any sleep, Mr. Jones?
A couple hours. And since the, I don't know, maybe I'm telling tales out of school here. We travel with the team, but for select times. And we've been moved off the plane for past playoff runs, which have not ended like this. But for some reason or other, they wanted us on the plane this time. So we traveled with the team the entire time. There was one point where we were off the charter for the finals and then back on and then off and they weren't sure. And,
yep.
And all I know is I had my same seat on the plane the entire year, except for now. They are headed to, I believe the team is headed to Las Vegas.
Right.
And, so it was a mad scramble for, Pina Delano, the young lady at MLSE that books all the flights and coordinating them with, you know, the various networks that people work for. And so I was on a flight that was going to get me back sometime around midnight, like the milk run.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to change to something that's getting me back around 8. So I'm,
you'll be good.
You know, after a couple hours here and organizing this room, Jeff, that I'm about to leave. I'm going to be home in decent time, but I'm not going to Vegas on the charter, which is kind of too bad. That would be fun.
It would be fun.
It's okay. I'm going to find my way to Vegas sometime about 3 weeks from now for Summer League. All of a sudden, Summer League's just around the corner.
I was going to say, it's like the season never ends. I mean, you got all the, you know, major decisions to make. We got to find out about Masai. We got to find out about Kawhi. I don't even want to go there yet. I want to enjoy the ride. Hey, who did you think of last night? That game is over. Who was the first person to go through your mind, Jonesy? Because again, you're part of the Canadian basketball community, not just Toronto. Who went through your mind?
With regard to the Raptors, Jeff, the first my mind flashed back to the first year and all the people that were involved in the very first year that were basketball people, including some of the players. You know, a guy like John Sally that had come from a championship in Detroit and you know, John Bittov and Isaiah Thomas and some of those people, the Slates, you know, Alan and Gary Slate. Like, my mind went back to those people
mm-hmm.
who who kind of knew that this is going to hurt for a while. this is going to be tough. And just thinking of, you know, the early years, you know, Brendan Malone, you know, and some of those early years where, gosh, it just seemed like, and I've written this before on Twitter and Instagram, is this team in these purple and white pinstriped uniforms, is this team really in the same league, literally, against Ewing and the Knicks? Like, are they really playing Antonio Davis, Dale Davis, Reggie Miller, you know, Derek McKee? Like, they got no chance.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like putting your 10-year-old boys hockey team out there to play against, you know, the St. Louis Blues. Like, they're just kind of toying with you, and just watching that and being a part of that and thinking like, well, I guess you got to take your lumps for a while. And Glenn Grunwald and people like that Glenn standing at midcourt at Maple Leaf Gardens after 16 and 66, just those kinds of things went through my mind. And then, you know, all the other guys and people along the way that were here and then weren't here, and other people came in, and, you know, I got a picture on the court with Leo Routens and Rod Black. Like, they were part of the first game, like me.
Right.
And it was just, you know, I talking to people like, you know, messaging, trying to get a hold of people like Mike Inglis, who I started with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of crazy to watch it all, you know, come to pass. And watching ESPN this morning, and they had the NBA Finals trophy up there and a Raptor logo beside it. And after all those years, you guys laughed at Toronto, and there's a problem with taxes, and you complained about customs or whatever. What's the deal now? Like, what's the deal now? What do you got now? No more excuses.
Right.
No more excuses. This team's a champion.
You know, I was watching the post-game media sessions last night. You know, a couple of things stood out. One, the respect the two teams have for each other. Like, this was a good final. It's not feel good because Kevin Durant got hurt and Klay Thompson got hurt and all that. But it was a good final. It was two teams that respected each other. And you kind of got that sense in the post-game stuff. But you know what? And I know it's all about Kawhi. Kawhi was a great player. But, you know, I loved what Fred VanVleet said about Kyle. To me, the picture that's going to stick with me is Kyle and his kids. Because at some point, I think there will be a book written about this year and sort of about what Kyle went through. And I'm not making it sound as if it was a terrible thing to be Kyle Lowry and be an NBA player. But I think it was a really difficult, complex year for Kyle. And I'll tell you the truth. When he came out last night and went for 11 points, I thought they're going to win. I don't know if it's going to be by 16, by 6, by 3, by 2. But when I saw Kyle have that type of start, I thought, okay, they're in here. They're going to win this. He's a barometer, isn't he?
Yeah, you know, I thought about Kyle coming here and being a guy that was always kind of scuffling.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody always had a problem with something he was doing. And in the end, the guy just wanted to win. He just wanted to win, Jeff. That was it. And you admire guys like that. They'll do anything that's needed to win. And, like, I look at how much he sacrificed this year. You know, his best friend traded away. He wasn't happy about that. The new guy comes in, and, you know, he's got to respect him and work with him because they want the same goal. And were they going to be friends? But did it matter? And you know, he took it on the chin about his performance from everybody in the playoffs. And game one against Orlando, he's one of the best players, but he doesn't score, and everybody's like, "Oh, same old Raptors. Same Kyle's disappearing again. Here we go. This team can't win." And his I don't even want to call it resiliency, because the kind of guy that Kyle is, you know, a tough kind of street kid from North Philly, resiliency is too big a word. He's damn stubborn,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just not giving in. I'm not going away until I get this. And his, you know, his persistence. And look, good for Kyle. good for Kyle. And I passed a couple guys in the hallway where they were taking pictures with the trophy. It was just wild. We're in the Oakland Raiders locker room. It was just wild down there, Jeff. Mm-hmm. It was. Somebody said, "Did you go near the locker room?" I said, "No, I only brought one change of clothes. I wasn't going close to that place." just passing some of the guys en route to have their picture taken with the trophy. And by the way, all of us that work on the broadcast got in there too. I don't know if Eric posted the photo of he and I holding on to the trophy. We lined up there, and Eric says, "Jonesy, I got to do interviews with sports." And I said, "Screw the interviews. What are they going to do, fire you because you've gone missing for 5 minutes? We've been here, so let's go get a picture with the damn trophy." And we lined up, and we got a picture with the trophy, and then Eric scurried back to wherever he had to go, and I hope I didn't get him in trouble, but to me, that picture with the trophy that we may never get again is worth it. And yeah. I passed some of those guys, and like Jody Meeks and Norm Powell, and I said to them, "Congratulations, man, you're a champion. People can call you whatever they want, but you can always say, well, I'm a champion, and nobody can take that from you." And it was just kind of really cool to be around it and watch guys that had worked that hard and sacrificed and did whatever they had to do. If their part was playing 2 minutes, 30 seconds at the end of a quarter, waving a towel, making a guy work in practice, whatever it is they had to do, they're part of a championship team.
Hey, Jonesy, listen, thanks so much for doing this morning. Like I said, I know it was a hectic night last night. You guys travel safely, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here. And as I said this morning, they're planning a parade, and this time we're not joking about it.
Unbelievable, Jeff. Unbelievable. You are right. This is not a joke.
No. Do not adjust your dials. They are indeed planning a parade in Toronto. Thanks, Jonesy. Be well.
All right, Jeff.
Paul Jones, our Raptors radio analyst on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and he and Eric had a great call last night, and a fitting way to celebrate the city's first NBA championship, the first major North American championship in the Big Four leagues since 92-93 when the Jays went back-to-back. We are going to step away. When we come back, we'll put a bow tie on it. Don't go anywhere. It's the Jeff Blair Show at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's been
all right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, the stretch drive. Mark and Barry has been so damn patient. Mark, I gotta go to you. I appreciate this, my friend. Thanks so much for hanging in with us.
You know what, Jeff? A 2 hour and 41 minute wait has never been more pleasurable.
2:41. Jesus, I'm sorry for that.
Hey.
Yes, go ahead.
It's been so entertaining. And so is your show. You know, I've been a loyal listener for such a long time, and you know, the privilege to call in on a day like this, and just something that I just kind of put together, you know, to all the true basketball fans out there, and the ones that embraced this team from day one in 1993 when John Bitov Jr. put together a bid for an NBA team in this city, and the people who know that Tim Legler is more than just an analyst that joined the Jeff Blair Show today, that he's an NBA three-point champion. You know, names like Mark Price and Detlef Schrempf and Craig Hodges and Sarunas Marcellonis mean something. You know, we're reflecting on names like Chuck Swirsky and Ellie Friedman, that they were the original voices of the
Toronto
Raptors.
What about the late John Saunders?
John Saunders, absolutely. I remember the chance of Ed O'Bannon and being there. I was at the games at the Skydome in Maple Leaf Gardens when we beat the Jordan Bulls and Kobe and the Shaq Lakers. You know, Canada wouldn't have the second largest contingency of NBA players today without Vince Carter. And Vince Carter is responsible for what Canada basketball is today. But Kawhi Leonard is going to be responsible for what basketball in Canada is in the future. And I've said this for years, that Kyle Lowry is the fuel that powers the Raptors' engine. And he's the greatest Raptor of all time, in my opinion. He shows up when he shows up with 94 octane in the tank, like he did last night, we win games. Mm-hmm. And maybe the thing I'm most proud about is the, as incredible as Kawhi is, and maybe the reason why we won, we don't win Larry O'Brien last night and this year without Kyle, Pascal, Freddie V, Danny Green, Serge, Marc Gasol, and even Norm Powell, a team of guys eight deep, you know, brought a championship to Toronto. And what most people don't know is that guys like me, I have a 10-year-old daughter who plays for the Caledon Cougars in the Ontario Basketball Association. And I kid you not, Jeff, the electricity and the energy that we've witnessed over the past few months, it exists courtside every week in gyms across Ontario. And for parents to cheer on their children as they play, go to Hoop Dome in the Downsview Air Base and see it for yourself. Vince Carter, the effect he had in Canada and basketball it brought us what we have today. But I cannot wait to see the effect of what Kawhi Leonard and the 2019 Raptors do for basketball in this country for the next 20 years. And it's kind of ironic that in a year when a film about a gay man with AIDS and his mm-hmm. band from 30 years ago is the most popular film in 2019, that a song the Canadians have had to listen to while U.S. teams celebrate every year.
Right.
That we are the champions finally applies to us, and it's never sounded better.
Mark, that's really well said, man. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for your calls. Everybody, I got to do a special shout-out, by the way. You have a longtime regular listener who has given the folks at our station a wonderful supply of cakes. And all I can say is, doesn't want his name out there, you made a lot of people really happy this morning. And as a matter of fact, now that I'm done, I'm about to go and crush, and I mean crush, a carrot cake. That's it for the Blair Show today. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy your weekend. Celebrate the Raptors. We'll be at the parade on Monday. Have a great day, everybody.